Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. So why is back pain so common? And what are some common causes of back pain? So today we'll be discussing this and other chronic pain topics with our guest, Rick Olderman. Rick is a sports and orthopedic physical therapist with more than 25 years experience and specializes in helping people with chronic pain experience a pain-free life. But before we begin, as a reminder, please subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. So let's go ahead and get started today. Hey, Rick, thank you for hopping on my show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited to talk about this topic. I think chronic pain is a huge issue for a lot of people, especially back pain and shoulder pain. So let's just jump right into it. A really common question of why is back pain so common for people?
Yeah, I think chronic back pain is so common because it's so commonly misunderstood. I think if we understood it better, we wouldn't have chronic back pain. And that's what I've been figuring out during my career.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic answer. It is probably misunderstood. So what are some common causes of back pain?
Yeah, so three different researchers in three different fields of study, physical therapy, fascia research, and neurological research, came up with the same three patterns of dysfunction behind almost all back pain. And when I put this together, that's what formed my approach to solving back pain. And I felt like what they didn't include as much was what we were doing that were creating these patterns. And so that's been what I've been figuring out these past 20 or so years. So basically, for most back pain, it's usually you have one or two of these three patterns. And I can go over briefly what those are, and I can take your listeners through a test and see if they have these patterns if you want.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So commonly, I've got a little skeleton here. So those of you listening might want to jump onto YouTube and see what I'm doing with my skeleton. Otherwise, I'll describe it as well as I can.
Perfect.
But one of the patterns behind back pain is what I call an extension pattern. It means that there's either too much arch in the back or there are too many forces trying to pull the back into an arch. The second pattern, and this leads to unilateral back pain, sciatica, and SI joint pain, things like that, is a side bending pattern where one side of the pelvis is higher and usually the same side of the rib cage is also lower, which then creates compression on that side of the spine and torque through the pelvis. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your listeners through one test to determine if they have the extension pattern, and we can talk about the side bending pattern after that if you want.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in and ask a question. So that side bending pattern, is that different or similar to the scoliosis of that S curve of the spine?
Yeah, so scoliosis means lateral curve. Mm-hmm. So they're one and the same thing. However, you can have a congenital scoliosis or a functional scoliosis. Okay. A functional scoliosis typically has one curve in the spine, like what I just showed. A congenital scoliosis usually has an S curve in the spine. It has two curves. And it usually results in a distortion of the rib cage, which then creates a rib hump over which, and we're going to talk about shoulders in a little bit. If that shoulder blade is over that rib hump, then it creates problems for the shoulder blade too.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think I have minor scoliosis. I'll have to ask my chiropractor about that. But that explains a lot about why some people, you said functional scoliosis. So I assume that means that there's a lot more mobile or have less pain than that type of scoliosis, correct?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, functional scoliosis can cause sciatic issues. It can cause disc herniations, all sorts of things. What it really speaks to functional means that you are doing something to create that scoliosis. You're not born with it. It's from how you're using your body.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. Yeah, so let's dive into that test that you described earlier if I jumped in.
Sure, it's really simple. So if everyone can just lie down on their backs on the floor with their legs straight. And if you can't get on the floor for some reason, then lie down on your couch or your bed. But the floor is usually firmer and it will give you more feedback into this test. So just go ahead and do that. And even if you're not inclined to do the test and just listen to what I have to say, I would really advise you to do the test because then you're going to feel the truth of this in your body. Otherwise, you're just going to kind of dismiss this, you know, information about 5 minutes after the podcast is over. And this can really help you. All right, so here we are. Hopefully, you've been lying down on your back with your legs straight. And what I want you to do is you can slide your hand underneath your low back if you like and feel the space between your low back and the floor. All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to bend your knees so your feet are flat on the floor. And if your back doesn't feel any different like that, then go ahead and hug your knees to your chest if that makes your back feel better. And you'll feel that your back is flatter against the floor in that position than when the knees were straight and the legs were straight on the floor. So one of those two positions is going to cause more back pain than the other. Mm. One position will feel better. One position will feel worse. And typically in 99% of the people, when the knees are bent or either flat on the floor or hugged to your chest, that feels better for most people's backs. Mm. All right. So the simple conclusion for that would be, oh, when my back is flatter, that means I have less pain. So I need to make my back flatter. And that's half of the truth, but not all of the truth. So the second part of this test then is for everyone now to stand up for the next 5 minutes and listen to the rest of this podcast. And what you'll notice is after about a minute or two that your knees are starting to lock backwards, all right, in a straight position. This is an energy conservation move. So if your knees aren't locking backwards already, just go ahead and do that now so you can see the effects on your body. So we're going to lock our knees backward and feel what your back is doing here. Now, unlock the knees ever so slightly and feel what just happened to your back there. And if you're not sure, lock the knees one more time and you'll feel that when your knees are locked, your back is more arched and you'll feel immediate tension in your back. All right. So what is this telling us? Well, the first test is telling us the general shape of what causes pain in your spine. More arch causes more pain, but it's not necessarily the shape of your spine. It could also be the forces acting on that shape. For instance, Paul, if I pushed you as hard as I could and you didn't budge, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that I'm not exerting force on you. It just means that you're countering that force,
right.
And
right.
your body is generating force against me,
right.
even though nothing, you know, has changed in terms of alignment, mm-hmm. posture, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about forces acting on the spine. You have hidden things throughout your body that are mm-hmm. contributing to that arch that's causing your pain. One of those is the second test. You found out that when you stand for more than a minute or two, you tend to lock your knees. Mm. This is, like I said, an energy conservation move. But when you lock your knees, your back is actually arching more.
Right.
So one of the unconscious habits that you have of locking your knees when you're standing is actually contributing to your back pain.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So this also happens especially when people are walking, because when people are walking, they tend to lock their knees.
Mm.
And what's going on is that when they're walking, their foot goes out in front of them. They get a nice heel strike, which then locks the knee immediately and turns off key musculature in the lower body system. Their momentum carries them forward over the leg so they can get away without using those muscles.
Mm.
All right. So this is also one of the unconscious behaviors that we've created that are contributing to our back pain. And so if you walked, say, 10,000 steps a day, that's 10,000 little hammers hammering your back with every step that you take.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah, that's never thought about that.
So that's the extension pattern of issues. And we can go deeper into that, or we can talk about the side bending pattern if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about the side bending pattern, because I'm really interested in hearing more about that, because it almost sounds like with the side bending pattern, you're it's like a misalignment, right?
It is, but you're the reason for the misalignment. So basically what's going on, like I described before, you've got one side of your pelvis higher and usually the same side of the rib cage is lower. Mm-hmm. So this is a functional scoliosis. If you had one side of the pelvis higher, but the opposite side of the rib cage lower, that then is pretty typical of a congenital scoliosis. All right.
Okay. And so congenital scoliosis is scoliosis that you were born with.
That's the scoliosis that we all think about when we hear the term scoliosis.
Right, right.
But medically, if you see scoliosis on your MRI result or X-ray result, it just means a lateral curve. It doesn't say congenital or functional.
Right, right. Okay.
All right. Okay. So why the real reason, and this is really easy to fix. We can fix that in 30 seconds. But the reason we have to understand why this pattern is happening in the first place. Usually, let's say it's your left pelvis that's higher and your left rib cage is slower. Usually in 80 or 90% of the cases, it's because of an older problem in that left leg.
Mm.
And so what is happening is unconsciously your brain is trying to get off that problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like if you had a little pebble in your shoe, your brain would gradually start hiking this hip up to get off of that issue.
Right.
All right. Well, the muscles that are hiking the hip up attach into the rib cage. So they will also pull the rib cage down. And that's what creates this excessive compression on this side of the spine, mm-hmm. which is where the sciatic nerve roots are coming from. Okay. All right. So in 10 to 20% of the cases, we have a compensation from the other side of the body. Mm-hmm. So something's wrong over here. You shift all your weight over to here. You take 10,000 steps a day. But now each of those 10,000 steps is carrying 5 to 10% more load.
Right.
And so this system starts to break down because of it. All right. So this is a side bending issue. Like I said, very easy to solve, but really, and this is where people really get hung up, is that they were not trained to think of our old injuries as the cause of our current pain.
Right.
Even though it's on the same side, we think that I went to rehab for that, or I don't have pain in that ankle anymore. Therefore, that can't be the cause of this problem.
Right.
No, because your brain creates so many compensation patterns to get around a difficulty that it will eventually create this one that's causing the sciatic pain.
And yeah, because it sounds like what you're describing is your body is trying to fix itself the only way it can, right? And so that's why you have these weird issues with your biomechanics, because your body is trying to do what it can to compensate for other areas, right? Because everything's kind of linked together in terms of how your body moves and responds, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. For instance, you know, you've got an athletic background in the Marines and so forth. And so your focus is to get from A to B and succeed in doing that.
Right, right.
Your focus is not how to get from A to B and succeed in doing that. And that's where we're missing it, is that we're not paying attention to the subtle things that are happening in our bodies because our focus is getting from A to B.
That's actually a really powerful statement or comment. I never considered that about how, because a lot of people are focused on the results, right? They want to lose weight, or they want to run a marathon, or they want to bench, you know, 245 or whatever. They're focused on what they want, the goal, but how they get there is not as important, right? It's all about the results. And I've noticed that now as I've gotten older, I'm starting to feel more things that I didn't feel before. But I also want to jump into we talked about how things are connected in our previous discussion offline. We talked about shoulder pain. Now, shoulder pain is somewhat linked to back pain. Is that right?
Yes. So especially through that second pattern of the side bending pattern. Mm-hmm. And I just looking at you, Paul, I wonder, do you have a left shoulder problem or a left leg or problem, anything like that?
Yeah, I go to the chiropractor once a week because I have a slight bend.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yep. So it wouldn't surprise me if you have left neck, shoulder problems. And I'll show you the connection between the lower body and the upper body. So basically, if we look at the body, we can see, if we Google skeleton, you'll see that the body is comprised of all of these long bones everywhere, right? But there's two areas of the body that don't have long bones. They have flat bones. One of those is the pelvis, which we all know is the center of function for the pelvis and lower body and back. The second area is the shoulder blade, and that turns out to be the center of function for the upper body system, neck, and head. All right. So there are rules about how this thing should be resting and moving, and there are reasons why it should be doing all of that. And so when those rules are off, when something isn't working well, there are significant muscular attachments from the shoulder blade into the cervical bones and the base of the skull. So when something happens to the shoulder blade, it transmits that force via those muscles into the neck bones and the base of the skull. So this sounds perfectly logical, you know, right? Once you think about those connections. But the problem is, most practitioners, if you have neck pain or headaches, will only focus on your neck or your head.
Right.
Because they don't consider the shoulder blade as a source of the problem, because their understanding of these connections are maybe incomplete. So how does this connect to the side bending problem? Well, the shoulder blade rests on the rib cage. If the rib cage is depressed, now it sets up the shoulder blade to fail as well. And so that's why we often get a unilateral pain on our shoulder, neck, or headache on the same side that we may have sciatica, SI joint pain, hip issues, and so forth, because it's all part of that same whole system of compensation patterns.
Okay. So someone could be having headaches and really it's all connected to some sort of sciatic pain on that same side, and just they just didn't consider all the intricacies that are going on in their own bodies. But that's really interesting about how, I like how you said about there's rules about how your body should function. And when those rules, I guess, are broken or they're not followed, that's what causes issues with people, right? So we talked about back pain and shoulder pain, and those are very common with a lot of people. But what can people do to address those issues? I know there's probably a lot of different things we can talk about there, but what are some things that people can just do at home, or if they have some downtime, that can help working on these issues if they need to?
Yeah, well, I recently treated a person who had 15 years of chronic back pain, who was a Division I swimmer, lost her scholarship for her swimming program because she developed back pain during her college career and no one could solve it. I saw her 15 years later, not for back pain, but for plantar fasciitis.
Oh, okay.
And she was in so much pain from her back that I couldn't even examine it, her, but I could see her walking pattern and saw what the problem was. So what I did is I put two little pieces of tape on the backs of her knees to get her to stop locking her knees.
Ah, okay.
Like what we talked about in that first pattern.
Right.
Right? The knee locking. Mm-hmm. So 3 days later, she came back in and both her plantar fasciitis and back pain were 75% better. Mm-hmm. When no one could have solved this for the previous 15 years. Mm. So that's how, when you understand things from a systems standpoint, a small change has immense ripple effects.
Right.
So for those people at home with back pain, if you found that your back hurts more when your legs are straight and your back is more arched and it feels better when your knees are bent, then for the next 3 days, walk around with your knees unlocked. Mm. And if you have a hard time remembering that, if you wear a watch on your left wrist, switch it to your right or put a rubber band on your right wrist, and that will annoy you to no end. And whenever that annoys you, that'll remind you to unlock your knees. And I can almost guarantee that after that 3 days, you're going to feel significantly better in your back.
Hmm. There's a lot of things that are interesting about that, but I love how you mentioned just putting something on your wrist on the opposite side or putting a rubber band to remind you. Because I was thinking to myself, like, how can someone remind themselves to constantly keep their knees unlocked? But I think that's a really clever way to do that. And the tape is also very clever as well. A lot of people wouldn't even consider that. But that's really interesting about how, again, like everything's so connected, but you were able to just see just from her walking how to address her issues just from her walking.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, literally, when she walked to my table and then sat down, she had to rest for a minute. And you could just, she had to close her eyes and just breathe through that pain. And when I asked her to stand up for her exam, she had to stop and just give me a minute. I mean, it was that bad. She was in terrible, immense pain. So,
yeah.
Simple
and,
things.
And you know, you mentioned she was a swimmer and she had chronic pain, but I do want to take a step back and define chronic pain, because that I think that term gets tossed around a lot, but maybe some people who are listening may not understand. So what is chronic pain? How would you define chronic pain?
Yeah, I think it's interchangeable with nagging, recurring, but basically someone long ago said chronic pain is any pain that lasts more than 3 months. So if any of your listeners have had pain for 2.5 months, I'm sorry, you don't have chronic pain.
Okay, 3 months. That makes sense. And that's a really, I think it's a really good way to define it. And so it's just long-term pain. And it maybe doesn't happen, you know, every second or every minute, but it's just something that's reoccurring over a long period of time. And it's, you know, could be months, could be years, right?
Yeah. So I would challenge you to think about it as a chronically recurring acute issue. Chronic pain means that you have a issue that hasn't been resolved. And if you solve that now, your chronic pain will be gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So it's not a different, doesn't mean that you've had some different type of issue. It just means that you have an issue that you haven't understood yet.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand it, you can solve it and your pain will go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you made a really good point right there about how you have to understand it first. I think people kind of jump to solutioning, right? They try a bunch of different things to see what works, but they don't really understand the issue. And sometimes I think it's just lack of knowledge, right? I mean, you have far more knowledge about the skeleton than I ever will, because that's your specialty. So where can people start if they want to get some help with their chronic pain? Where would be a good place to start? Where would you recommend someone to start?
Well, my website, rickolderman.com, has all of I've developed home programs to help people solve pain. I've got a new book out called Solving the Pain Puzzle, which is cases from 25 years as a physical therapist. And this describes this, I call it the fixing you method. It describes the fixing you method and how I solved a lot of difficult cases using this. So this might be a nice introduction for your listeners to wrap their head around that rather than jumping into all the anatomy and so forth.
Yeah.
So about 10 or 15 years ago, I wrote a series of books called the Fixing You series. And I have a different book for each area of the body. And over the years, I mean, they've sold well. I've helped lots of people with those. But I realized through owning my own orthopedic clinic that I could narrow down this help a lot more, that these things were happening in patterns. So the same pattern in you, Paul, might cause back pain.
Mm.
And in another person, it might cause hip pain or SI joint pain or sciatic pain. So it's not four different issues. It's four different representations of the same issue.
Okay.
So that's why I could create, that's what I realized in my clinic over the 10 years. And that's why I could create these downloadable home programs, which are much more simple and focused on the main problems that are causing almost all pain.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I think that's also really interesting how something that looks similar can manifest in different ways to different people, depending on who they are and what they do.
Genetics, work, exercise patterns, military service, sorts of things.
Yeah. And I think going back to the chronic pain of how that's a long-term pain, do you think that in your opinion, if someone, the longer it kind of goes on, the harder it is to treat, or is it all kind of the same?
It's all the same to me. I tell you, 20 years of pain can be eliminated just as quickly as 20 days of pain.
Yeah.
If you find the right thing, because it's a, like I said, it's like having a splinter in your thumb.
Right.
How can you ever expect that to feel better unless you pull out that splinter?
Right.
It's not going to take you 20 years to pull out the splinter. All you need to do is find the splinter and pull it out. It'll feel a lot better right now.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing.
Yeah. And I think in a reason why I brought that up is because I know I had the misbelief that my chronic pain is just, it is what it is, right? Because of, you know, military or me working out too much, you know, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I'll just live with it, or I'll deal with it. I'll figure out a way to work around it, right? But for all the listeners out there, that's just not the case, right? Or if you're watching from home, that's not the case, right? If you have chronic pain, maybe all chronic pain, but you don't have to live with chronic pain, right? There are ways to treat that or get help. So that, because I can tell you from experience that it's a world of a difference when you don't have that chronic pain, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And one of the stories in my book is of an NFL lineman I treated who had 9 years of hip pain and ankle pain.
Yeah.
Gone in 3 days while he was training.
Yeah.
You know, going through his practices and so forth. Yeah. So, you know, I can get on a soapbox about this, but he didn't have pain in high school. He only had pain once he started in college because it was a one size fits all training program. For all linemen. All linemen have to do this, this way, and this is how much. And he had a unique physiology that wouldn't allow that. And that's when his chronic pain started. Mm-hmm. And when he got to the NFL, to the pros, same thing.
Yeah.
All linemen must do this way. Our bodies aren't built the same.
Right. Know? That's a great point. Our bodies aren't built the same way. And, obviously the NFL is a much higher level than of, you know, conditioning and strength training than most people. But I think that's a really great kind of story of how even an NFL lineman who had years of pain and who presumably has a lot of resources around them to help correct that pain or fix that pain. But at the end of the day, you're still able to help them out and took 3 days. That's really powerful. And that's really cool to hear.
If they all have the same hammer, you're always going to get the same result.
That's very, very true. So Rick, before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask if you had any other further comments for the listeners out there on back pain or shoulder pain before we wrap up.
I think, Paul, the only message I really have is that if you're dealing with chronic pain, it only means you haven't really received the right information yet.
Mm, right.
Your pain is a body's signal that something is wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
So once you figure that out, you can resolve your pain now. So you're not broken. It's just an information issue. And I have unique information I think can help you.
Yep, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure to put your information in the podcast notes. But Rick, thank you. I think it's a great way to wrap things up with a call to action and maybe some hope for some people out there if they're dealing with chronic pain, that they don't have to live with chronic pain. It may take some effort to figure out what the solution is. But again, Rick, thank you so much for coming on my show. I had a really great discussion with you. And I'm sure the listeners out there doing the chronic pain got some really good information that they can kind of change their lives, hopefully.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
So that wraps up today's episode. And thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check out Rick on the social media links in the podcast notes, which I'll provide below. And if you're a fan of this show, please do me a huge favor and leave a review if you enjoyed listening. Until next episode, take care of yourselves. Remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.